Number 98. 98. We stand.
We did not sing that song by accident. We tend to think in terms of dollars. We must learn to think in terms of love. I enjoy dealing with numbers. I've always enjoyed numbers. And you know, we mention numbers from time to time. We mention them because when we're talking about people, we're talking about souls. And when we're talking about dollars, we're talking about doing the Lord's work. But folks, I am convinced that somehow or other we've got to get this in terms of love. And if we can learn to love Jesus more and bring more people to Christ, who in turn will love Jesus more, our budget and our dollars and our figures will take care of themselves. I think the real question this morning is, how much do I love Jesus? Am I really in love with him? We talk about being in love with the wife, in love with the husband, loving our children, our parents, and others. And especially at that time when we're dating and thinking about getting married, we are so much in love. We are just so much in love that we would literally do anything for the person who is the recipient of that love. There's where the answer is. I remember when our children were little, we'd ask them sometimes, how much do you love me? And as they were beginning to get into their twos and threes along at that age, I can remember them reaching out and, I love you this much. Or maybe we would say to them, I love you this much, just as far as I can reach. That's how much I love you. How much do we love Jesus? There's a song that I remember, and I'm not too impressed with the one who sang it originally or the circumstances from which it came originally, but I like the words. I love you a bushel and a peck, a bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck, a barrel and a heap, and I'm thinking in my sleep about you. Now, we're not going to mention the chorus to that. Some of you know it. But I love you a bushel and a peck, and a barrel and a heap, and I'm thinking in my sleep about you. You know, sometimes we're a little bit concerned about what names we mention in our sleep, but when we get to where we are talking about Jesus in our sleep, we won't have anything to worry about. And when we're even subconsciously expressing ourselves and we're talking about Jesus and our love for him, we'll have things in proper focus. The bottom line of it, and I just cannot overemphasize this, the bottom line in our doing the work of the Lord, completing our projects and our programs and taking the gospel to people in this community and around the world, is going to really be written in love. How much do I really love Jesus? I mentioned that this morning I would give you a guaranteed plan for reaching our budget and our goals, and I think I can. I can't say guarantee like the old Cajun cook says it, but I believe I can guarantee you that if we will understand this plan and work by it, that we will, without a doubt, meet and exceed the plans that have been put before us. I think it's interesting, reader, that those negatives that you were mentioning were about 7 or 8 or 9 years ago. In the last 8 years, including this one, if you had been able to look at the chart that was there, we would have seen an increase every year. And we would have seen ourselves above our budget every year. And I believe that that comes about because of the plan that is presented. And the plan is right straight from God's Word. In one verse, one of the most familiar verses to us in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. There have been books and books written about how to increase the contribution in local congregations and how to do a better job of doing the Lord's work. I have several of them in my study. And there are many great suggestions in them. There are many workshops and seminars and studies conducted, and in fact, we have some even in the Brotherhood now who are specializing in going from church to church and talking about giving and how to increase the giving and how to do more in the Lord's work. And I'm sure a lot of good's being done with that. But I'll say to you this morning without reservation that the best plan, the guaranteed plan that's given, is right here in this book. And it'll work. I've seen it happen. I've experienced it. I've observed it. I know it will work. And here's the plan. And we'll be using some of the words that start with P that we've used sometimes in other lessons, but they fit in here and are so needed here. Number one, we've got to make our giving personal. Every man, he says here in this verse, giving is something that is personal. In 1 Corinthians 16, he says there that everyone's to give as he has prospered, personal. In Acts 11, when they were collecting money for a specific purpose to send it to help the needs in Judea and Jerusalem, it says every man gave according to his ability, a personal understanding of one's giving. Back in the 8th chapter, which may be at the same opening, if you have your Bible opened at 2 Corinthians 9, 7, about verses 12 through 14, he says that you're going to be accepted if you give with a willing mind according to what you have, not according to what you have not. It's based upon what the person has. And then in that setting, he uses the word equality, which just underscores this idea that everybody has to be involved. There's where the key is. That's what Brother Oldham was talking about when he said, if each family would just do a little, or each person just does a little. Folks, the success of this is when we bring our giving down on a personal level. The total is important. The budget figure includes many things. But I've got to learn to look at myself and my relationship to God. And so, for that reason, I think there are some questions I need to ask myself. What did I make last year? What did I give? How does that compare? What do I anticipate having to come into me this year? And based on that, what am I going to decide? I've got to decide, you see, and you've got to decide. And yes, you will make a decision relative to this subject. It'll be a decision between you and God. God will know of the decision. You will know of the decision, whether or not anybody else knows or needs to know. It's got to be a personal thing. And when we can get it down and we understand that all of us are involved and my part is important, whether it's a lot or a little. Now, I'm not for sure God describes lots and littles as we do. But it's every man. And I cannot pass by without saying this. One of my greatest concerns, and I really mean this from the bottom of my heart, is not that total figure. It's what each one of us is doing because it involves the salvation of my soul and yours. It's one of the ways that we worship God. It's personal. Number two, there are to be plans made. Personal planning is involved. Every man, as he purposeth in his heart. That word purposeth starts with a P, but there's a shorter word that we usually use, and that's the word plan. Plan the work and work the plan. Well, we're doing that with the budget as a whole, but remember, we're talking about personal planning here. How much personal planning have you done? You remember over the last few weeks, even over the last several years, again and again, we've said to you, take the time to take a piece of paper and a pencil and sit down and look at the figures. And if we were talking about another part of the Lord's work, we might be talking about look at the number of hours that we give in service to God or the talents and the efforts. But personal planning. I'm not for sure that we can scripturally worship God if we wait until the basket is being passed and we just decide to give something on that occasion. Now, we may do additional planning. There have been times, I'm sure you've experienced this, when for some reason or other, after I came to services, I decided to give more. But if I understand this passage, it says there is to be planning ahead as he purposeth in his heart. And the indication is definitely that we are to plan by the week. We're to lay by in store each first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16. And there is the mention at least twice in this general context that there was planning a year ahead. And I appreciate the emphasis Brother Oldham put on that. There is to be planning ahead. We plan on everything else. We buy a car and plan to make 60 payments. We buy a house and plan to pay for it for 30 years. We buy other things and we plan to pay for it, or we save for it and we plan to have the money to buy it when we get the money together. We plan in other areas, maybe some of it without realizing that we do. And we need to plan our giving. Personal planning. Have you done that? It might help us if we just stop and think. I'd thought of this a day or so ago. What would I be giving today if I lived under the patriarchal law? What would I be giving today if I lived under the Mosaic law? We live under a better law, a better covenant, a better system. Might be worthwhile to do some thinking like that and some comparison of different things. But however you go about it, I don't stutter at all to tell you, I believe the Bible teaches without a doubt that we have a responsibility to do some personal planning. Not just planning as a congregation, but personal planning. And then number three, he says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not of necessity or grudgingly, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Folks, our giving needs to be the proof of what's on the inside. There was a fellow working for another man years ago, and this man who had hired him just kept telling him what a good job he was doing. He said, oh, you're doing such a wonderful job. And one day the fellow that was working looked up at his employer and he said, I wish you'd put some of those compliments in an envelope. Well, isn't that what verse 8 and 24 in chapter 8 saying, to prove the sincerity of your love? The proof of your love? When we get the heart right and we give cheerfully, the amount will, I think, take care of itself. And it's interesting in studying this word cheerful that it really is a word that means hilarious. One of the most relaxed times in my life is just after I've had a good life. And you notice it. If you don't believe it, you try it. Last night we had six of the young ladies from the Harding Chorus at the house, and they had not heard any of my jokes. Now, Judy doesn't feel too good toward me this morning, but I had an hilarious time. We laughed. Now he says that's the attitude that's involved. You've got to get your heart thinking like that. God loveth a cheerful giver. Oh, we could say, you know, I'm going to have to do this and I'm going to have to do that and raise my contribution to this if we do what we want to do. I wish I didn't have to, but we've got to. Well, there are some duties and there are some commandments, but that's not where we've got to come from. God loveth a cheerful giver. Not grudgingly or of necessity, that's not to be the attitude. But God loveth a cheerful giver. If we can get our hearts right on the subject of giving, I will guarantee you that we'll go above our budget. And I'm persuaded that if we could really get the hearts of over 600 members of this congregation right, that we would put five figures on the board instead of four. I believe that. If we can do the personal planning and prove our attitudes as being cheerful and ready and desirous, and even saying, I would do more if I could. There are those who could if they would. But we've got to get the attitude that we would if we could even do more, because we have such an attitude of wanting to do the Lord's work because we are in love with Him. There's the proof. And the fourth point that's in this is the performance. In fact, this word perform is used back in verse 11 of chapter 8. He said, you planned a year ago, now perform it. There's got to be the personal planning that's seen in a proved performance. Now that's the plan that God is giving here. And let me just share with you two or three things that have happened in the last few days that emphasize how this works. Twice this week, an envelope has come into the office in the mail that said Church of Christ, and when I opened it, there was a check in it from one of our shut-in widows. Not just a token contribution. Twice this week, two of our shut-in widows mailed a check to go into the contribution. A few days ago, Michael Hurst brought me this sock. I've kept it, Michael, for this morning. Michael said, I want this to go on the building. I haven't looked inside or counted it. There are a lot of pennies in here. There may be something else. But can you imagine the attitude that put that in that sock? And folks, if we can get our attitudes in the socks like this, and we can perform from the attitude of love and cheerfulness, there's no doubt what we can do. And let me say this, and I believe this with all my heart. I believe our performance in our giving and our support of the Lord's work is to be in this local congregation. I wasn't here last Sunday. I was speaking at Lewisburg in a situation somewhat like